maybe if somebody comes in late, Will, you could give it to them. Yeah, anybody comes in late, give them one, if you would. How many of you have lived in Arizona very long? A few years or so? Is this wind higher than normal? This is not normal, is it? You know, I was raised in Phoenix. So probably all the houses and the buildings broke it up. Okay. Well, it's pretty bad when you see birds flying sideways. Yeah. Yes. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Let's, in Romans chapter 10, let's look at verse 10, and we'll read down to verse 15, then we'll begin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's another word or a way for saying Gentile. For the same Lord is overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, as we study the realm of this passage of Scripture, we see and we can see how it relates not only out in the hedges and the byways of everyday life, but how that it can relate directly in the church services of our congregation. We ask now that you'll bless our time together, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. All right, let's first of all, if you did not get a handout, would you flag and just wave? We'll get one to you. All right, did we have enough? Good. Okay. There's an insert. Just take that out for a moment, and let's look at the actual overview of what we're going to be discussing. On the left is dues for the elder worker. And first of all, number one, you begin with data information. Now, elder workers are people that come forward at an invitation and are ready to assist and help people that the Lord has spoken to their hearts and they come forward. Last Wednesday, we had a couple that has been attending for about four services, and they joined. And pastor had already talked with them in the office. Everything's all taken care of. Had they come forward before the pastor talked to them, then we would be looking at a clipboard, and I will show you this clipboard. We are going to have clipboards on the very front row of the church, on the sitting, and you have church membership and decision cards. How many of you did not receive one of those this morning? You'd like to have one. It's a green card. All right, we'll go over that in just a minute. At the end of the class, Will, if you would pick those cards up, we'll put those back into what we're using those for. But that is for any decision that somebody makes, including accepting Christ, to be baptized, or to join the church. Now, there are some important things as you look at the decision card that we're going to go over. Number one, begin with the data information. Letter A, be sure to get the mailing and resident address. All phone numbers and email addresses. Birthday and anniversary if they're married. An anniversary, birth date rather, of the spouse. Letter D, children's information with their birthdays. Then you have number two, and that is decision information. Letter A, record the type of commitment made by checking the appropriate box or block. Letter B, get the name and address of the church they are coming from for membership. And then number one under B, if no address, get the name of the church, the city, and or the town, if at all possible. Number three, altar worker. Letter A, be sure, Will, can you get one of those out to him? Did you? And also maybe a decision card, Larry, if you've got those. The green cards that we gave you, Larry. Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, number three, the altar worker, letter A. And this is important, and we'll tell you why in a second. Be sure to sign your name. Do you see what's underlined? Before giving the card to the pastor or the altar records secretary. Who is the altar record secretary? Unless somebody is designated, it's Nancy. Can we designate you, Nancy? All right. And so that will be given to her after you have reached out to help someone. Number four, please tell the secretary, the altar record secretary, when the clipboard supplies are low at the altar. That's the green cards that you have in your hand. There's also a pen that needs to be in every one of those clipboards, which there are. Now, on the right page, here are some do nots for the altar worker. Number one, do not leave the person you are helping with questions that can be answered now. And if they have a question, our responsibility is to help them. And there's a struggle they're having, they wouldn't have a question. So we answer the question. If you are unable, then you would take and maybe refer them to the pastor with the pastor at the end of the service when you're working with them. Letter A, questions that deal with assurance, baptism, and major doctrine can and should be addressed at the altar. Now, we have on the communion table up in the front, we have some laminated cards. What you have is an insert. This is the same card, front and back, laminated. They are for you to use, to put in your Bible, to keep them as a handy reference as you begin to help people. At the altar, it tells what people's needs are. And then on the back is at the altar. And then there are some philosophies that you should always follow. Now, number one, letter B, some doctrinal questions need time and an appointment should be made if possible. Now, you're talking to somebody, and they've got a hang-up. There's something that is a struggle with them doctrinally. Here's what you should do. That's a good question. If you're unable to take care of it at that time, that's a good question. A question that would be better, perhaps, handled by the pastor. And why don't we go ahead and finish the rest of the card? I'll help you however I can. then let's go and see the pastor. And you tell them, the pastor, that they have a question, doctrinal, that, pastor, we thought that you're the only one probably that would be able to handle that, and make an appointment with this person. Number two, do not present a person for membership if their doctrine is biblically wrong. Now, letter A, some doctrine issues that must be dealt with before joining are tongues, cults. They could be a member of a cult. There are so many cults, we can write a book on the names of all of them. Denominational affiliation, if it is a hang-up with them, if they say, well, we're so-and-so Baptist, and, well, now, you know, we're unaffiliated, we're independent Baptist, and as you know, Bible-believing, etc. Is that a problem with you? Well, I'm just not used to being in a church that does not have a headquarters. Well, here, our headquarters is the Lord Jesus, and the one that is directly under the Lord Jesus is the shepherd of the church, our pastor. I'd explain that. If that's cleared up, great. You don't need to take and stop at that point. But notice, denominational affiliations other than Baptist, that can carry other doctrine with it. So let's continue. Alter predestination. Do you know what that means? Alter predestination. That is the doctrine, false doctrine, that is taught that people are destined for heaven, are predestined for hell, and is not going to change. That's a false doctrine. And that is something we do not want in our church, because our church stays to the Word of God. Now, as we continue, and denial of eternal security, those are just a few. Now, how can you say, well, I know people that believe that they're saved and they can be lost. That can become an issue. And people need to understand that when Jesus saves a person, their salvation is as good as he is. He doesn't change. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's not conditional. The condition was made and met at Calvary when he shed his blood for you on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sin. When you receive him as your Savior, that penalty is paid for. Now, here's what you want to ask somebody. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, shall be what? Saved. Okay. What kind of life does Jesus give people when he saves them? It's eternal life. When does eternity stop? Never. And he gives people that trust him as their Savior, what kind of life? Eternal life. Okay, Dana, I believe you had a question.
Yeah, I think I guess last week, I thought it was the same as your group. I don't have it. I'm not applying to your reading, so I can't question it.
Okay, now look at the front cover of yours. Does it say, does it say on the cover dues? Does yours say dues? Okay. Okay, somehow you got that. It's wrong. We need to, does yours, the ones you've got giving out, they all say dues? Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, here's what we want to do. Real quick, we're going to go over this. Look at your card that was given to you, the green card. You're filling out the card. Now you say, boy, won't this take a long time, week after week, to learn how to do this? No. No. How many of you know where you were saved. Okay? And how you got saved. How many of you don't know? Okay. See, if you're saved, then you know it, like the song that the children's have, right, Will? Okay. If you're saved, then you know it. Say amen. Amen. Okay. Now, you've got the card, you got the clipboard, you're going to help somebody. What's the very first thing as an altar worker that you're going to do concerning the information on this card? The very first thing you're going to fill out. You're going to sign your name at the bottom. You see, altar worker? Now, you know why that is? You start giving information, and the pastor cannot connect to that person. He's got a card. If he needs to talk about something that maybe took place, he's got a concern for that person to help them, then he knows exactly who to talk to. That was the altar worker assisting the person at the invitation. Now, let's go down. You're going to check off. If a husband and wife come forward or vice versa, you're going to check off Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. You want the date. You want the residence. You want to ask. Go right down the line. Is your mailing address the same? No, it's a P.O. box. Then put that in. And the zip if it's different. Home telephone, and make sure you tell them. Now, the information that we're asking is definitely of a personal, private nature. And we want to assure you that this will not be openly given out to anyone. This is, we consider your privacy extremely important. So you get the home number, work number if they're willing to give it to you, and you say, why do you need my work number? In case of an emergency, would you mind if we called you if it was an emergency, something you had to know? Sure. Then you put their email. Now, or you can substitute work and put cell phone, either one. You want their birth date and the anniversary. Spouse, if the person is not with them, and their birthday. Then you go down the children's. Now, the reason for that is maybe if our church does not, maybe in a future point of time, maybe we'll send a birthday card out to the kids. We're trying to connect with the family folks and help them as much as we can. And then you go down below the children. It says makes the following public commitment. The first block, if they're coming to be saved, accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. All right, now let's stop. If they're coming to accept Christ, the first thing you do is sign the bottom of that card, take your Bible out. If you need to use your at the altar card, use it. But you go down and show them the plan of salvation, and you lead them to Christ first. Then when you're finished, then you go down and fill that card out. If they're coming for baptism, you know they're saved, they're coming for membership or rededication or otherwise, then yes, fill the card out before you talk about other spiritual issues. The second block, desires membership in this church. This is important. How are they coming? Are you coming by church letter? And here's what happens. I've had this happen over the years as a pastor. I cannot even count the times that somebody comes forward to join. Pastor Eccles, it's been a long time. I'm kind of ashamed to tell you that I've been out of church a long time. And so I don't have an active membership. But you know in our conversation, I've been saved. I've been baptized scripturally. And I'd like to join. Then here's what we do. We're going to take you by statement. You know what statement is? It's profession of their faith. Okay? No letter, but profession. If they're coming, they were saved. There's a young lady that's supposed to be baptized this morning. And she would be on this card, whoever the altar worker is, fill it out, and they would check off by baptism. Or What is your first name? No, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Victor.
I am sorry. I was drawing a blank, Victor. All right. So, Victor, did you come by statement or letter?
Statement.
Okay. And that's fine. Okay, statement of faith. Or a person says, yes, we just moved into the area. We're members of Grace Baptist Church or whatever. Then you get the information. And notice a letter from your name of the church and the address of the church. Here's some more decisions. Dedicates life for church-related vocation or ministry. Rededicates life to Christ. Could be another decision. Now, with all of that done and said, again, these are to be given out to you. If you're not going to use it, and we would ask that you, at one point in time, place it back on the table, but we would like you to use these. All right, now, here are some thoughts. Take your card and notice, again, your insert, which is like the laminate, and the altar. This is the overall scope or view of the altar. You have the altar. What is the altar for? You're going to help people. People coming forward. Number one, they have sinned against God. That's why people need to be saved. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, they will pay for their sin one day. Romans 6:23, the first part of that. For the wages or the payday of sin is death. And then number three, Christ paid their sin debt. The last part of verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now here it is. This is also eternal security. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number four, God loves them and wants them to be saved. Then we can go on down. Here's other things you can help them with. Assurance and so on. There's more detail specific on the back side of your card if you elect to take that. Now, the importance and the influence of a soul-winning Christian Jesus spoke of in Matthew 5:13. And notice what he says. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Our testimony. If our testimony is not good, we're not going to take and permeate society and make a difference with people and win people to Christ. Number two on this thought is this. There are various ways that you can influence people to be saved in addition to the lessons that we've been speaking of. You can write a person, if they're a friend, you can write a personal letter to them from your heart to theirs. You can invite them to special days. Maybe invite them over to your house for Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and etc. Those are all in the church. Those are all opportunities to expose people to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the importance of soul winning. I'm going to touch a few things, then we'll get ready to close. Souls will perish. Did you hear that? Will perish without ever hearing the message. And that is in Romans 10:14 that we read. And how shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? Now, why do we send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world? Because we're sending missionaries that are going to go in a foreign field and sow the seed of the Word of God in areas and regions that people have never heard. And they're sowing the word, and they're watering the word, and they're winning souls, and they're harvesting the fruit that God brings forth. The fields become white unto harvest. Now, here's some examples on soul winning. Just a few. New converts set out to win souls. If you want to look at a reference later, that is in John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51. We're not going to take time to read that right now. But it is speaking about, in the overview of that passage, about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, in his conversation, pointed two of his disciples, John and Andrew, he pointed them to Jesus. Now, in verse 37 of John 1, it says this, "And the two disciples heard him speak," speaking about Jesus, "and they followed Jesus." Earlier, they heard John say the following, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When I was in Pontiac, Michigan, and my wife and I, in fact, she had graduated with a Bachelor of Christian Ed from the same seminary a few years after. But when I was a student there, I went out knocking on doors one day on a Saturday to build a Sunday school bus route. And I worked at General Motors Trucking Coach during the week and did my studies and everything when during the time I got out of school and went to work. I had a little window of time. Saturday, knocking on doors. I remember a woman, a lady. We came to her door. Her name is Barbara Fisher. Barbara, whose dad was a pastor, had never clearly ever heard the gospel. If you can imagine that. But it actually is true. She was won to Christ at the door. She said, "I would love to come tomorrow if you'll bring the bus over to my house." We told her what time it'll be coming, the Sunday school bus. I say, "Now, be careful, because the bus is going to be full of children." She said, "I love kids." And later on, she certainly did grow to love kids and influence them. But with all of that, we came to her house and expecting Barbara to come out. And she came out with 13 of her friends. 13. 13. Not children, not that they're not important, because they are. But she came with all of her friends. And I remember she sat, they went to the front of the congregation, and this church at that time is averaging about 3,500 in attendance. And they just, the ushers, man, they took them all down, 14 of them. And Barbara was so happy. I said, "You've been busy." She said, "I've been on the phone. I've been driving over to friends' houses and everything." And out of the 13 that she brought, she walked the aisle to follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism that morning. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, always had the water full. They always had it heated up for the service. She came to get baptized, and almost every single one of those 13 that she brought came forward and received Christ. Some of those got baptized that very morning. Some came back in the evening and later, and so on. But here's the pinnacle of what happened for Barbara Fisher. She was a witness. She'd bring new people in all the time, visitors. And one Sunday, a man came in a black suit, rather polished, kind of dignified looking. And he came down and sat with her. And I went down, shook hands. And she said, "Brother Eccles, this is my father." See, he's an active pastor. And the invitation is given. she said something to him, and he went like this. And down the aisle they went, and on his knees he fell, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he came out totally different. It started with one person at a door. People come forward at the invitation. It starts with one person, one-on-one. Altar workers are part of the backbone of the local congregation. It is so important. You say, Brother Eccles, I'm kind of timid and I'm a little fearful. I will promise you something, that if you will take on this ministry in your heart and determine to tell people about Christ and help people at the altar, God will give you the very words to say at the appropriate time. How many of you believe that? Say amen. 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 I remember the first person I ever talked to the Lord. It was in Durango, Colorado. I've already mentioned that. Pastor had just led an elderly lady to Christ. I went to the next house. I asked him when we left. I said, can I do that too? And he looked at me, and little did I know. He looked and grinned and he said, yes, you can. He said, you believe it? I said, I do. I said, I'd be a little nervous. He said, it's normal. We walked, headed up the door to the front stairway right behind the church. Got up on that door, porch, knocked on the door. I said, this is going to be exciting. I didn't hear a response. Knocked at that door again. I said, boy, it'd be great if somebody gets saved. And I looked over, and he had walked to the next house and left me alone and was waving at me when he was knocking at the door. To make a long story short, I looked at this man. I was beside myself. I have already brought people to church. I've already witnessed to my friends, even had a chance to lead a couple of them to Christ. But I never went to a door alone or at any other way where I did any talking. And he came to the door. He was very polite. Young married man, about 23 years old. And I just, he hawed around. I said, and this is what I said. You don't want to get saved, do you? Just like that. I was terrified. And he said, that's funny. He said, we've been talking about that very thing. Yes, I do. Hey, would you come in? We sat in the living room, gave him the plan of salvation. His wife had been behind a shear that she pulled over, and she had been nursing a newborn baby. And I said, now, why don't we get on our knees and let's accept, you accept Christ. He said, I want to. He started looking down the hallway, and all of a sudden the shear pulled back and tears are running down his wife's face. And here's what she said. I'd like to get saved too. Can I get saved too? I said, you sure can. And so I had the joy of leading husband and wife to Christ. And the following Sunday, down the aisle they came with their elderly lady who was their neighbor. Now, Andrew won his brother to Jesus, one of the disciples. In verse 41 of John chapter 1, he first findeth his own brother Simon. How many of you ever been to Georgia? Okay. Anybody know where Swainsboro, Georgia is? You ever heard of Swainsboro? That's right in the middle of the cotton belt, isn't it? Yeah, amen. There's a large Baptist church outside of Swainsboro, and I want to say Faith Baptist. I preached a revival. It's been years ago. And the first night of the meeting, I said, now, we already talked to the pastor. We're going to go out and make visits. Anybody that wants to come to church the next day, they can come at a certain time. And it was in the summer, and it was in July, and it was hot, very hot. And so the next day, we're waiting, And pastor went out. He took one of the people. He said, you know, Melvin is coming. He said, just wait a few minutes. He's running a little bit late. And here comes Melvin. He walked. And he had leg braces. Both legs. And he had canes that were around his wrist. And he walked and had a horrible time walking. And he was wringing wet with perspiration. And I said, Melvin, glad to meet you. He took that brace off, shook hands. We had fellowship. Pastor gave me some cards. Melvin said, can we go over and visit one of my relatives first? He said, I asked if we'd come over. They said they'd wait, and we did. Had the joy of leading one of these people to Christ. We went out some other calls, saw some other people saved. That night, and all the way through the revival, it was a back-to-back meeting Sunday night until Saturday, or Friday, I'm sorry. We had a revival every night. Friday, the last night, Melvin started walking down the aisle before the preaching, and here he comes. Pastor went down and helped him up on the platform. He said, Melvin's going to sing tonight. And I said, great. I'll be honest with you. Talking to Melvin, I didn't know if he could sing or not. Nothing against him. And he got up behind that pulpit and he began to sing. Before he did, he said, if you came and I invited you, and this church runs over 1,000. And my goodness, the crowd was packed. He said, if you came for me, would you raise your hand? There were hands everywhere, everywhere. And I said to him before he sang, how did you get these people here? He said, I went out and walked all over the countryside and invited them to church. There was a gasp in the church. They knew Melvin, but they never saw Melvin this way. And he got up and he sang, and the church started weeping. Openly, audibly weeping. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. And I got up and I put my arm around Melvin, and as he's behind the pulpit, and I say, now, Melvin, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. I began to read some scripture. I wouldn't let him go. He started, I said, no, you stay here. And we talked. Gave an invitation. And scores of people, and the people he invited, and other people. And the altars were filled 2 and 3 rows back and into the aisles. Because a man was willing to let go and let God use him and have his hand upon him to be a witness and to be a soul winner. Philip was a new convert, and he won Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 45. He says, come and see. You see, I spoke to you about a man in Jasper, Alabama, that also was in crutches. And we led him to Christ. And he walked up and down, and it was hot. I think it was the same year, as I recall, of Swainsboro. And that night, I think he had 9 or 10, maybe 11 people that came because of him. At first, I thought he wasn't coming. The singing started and everything, and then pretty soon the door opened and all these people came in. Boy, the pastor was very quick to come over. We're on the platform and leaned over and he said, Melvin has come out of his shell. Willis, he said, is not the same man that we knew him to be. Willis, you ready for this? Was saved the same morning of that evening that he brought everybody to church. the same day. You don't need to be saved a long time to tell people how to be saved. And if you cannot comfortably try to witness to them, then say, listen, if you come with me Sunday, this will explain what it's all about. And you come and sit with me at church and bring people. And may I say that God will use you in a very, very significant way. Now, would you help us this morning? We are at the conclusion. The green cards that you have. Brother Larry, would you get some of those, please? And would you pass them over to the aisle? Folks over here on your left, over here to your right, and your right. And then if you'd pick those up and put those up on the communion table, that would be of great help. All right. This is something that you would not use personally. We are looking at a new tract that is going to show up at the church, that is going to go in the clipboard. Beautiful tract. Has a picture of the Bible opened up. And it says, now that you're saved, what's next? And that is something that you can give to every person that comes. Why don't you give those to Nancy. And the clipboard, I'd put that back where you got it. All right. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that very much. All right. Any questions before we dismiss? Yes. Sir? Sure. Amen. And if a person wants to join, you have a doctrinal statement of the church and what they believe, that's fine. Yeah. Amen. All right. Any other questions? And that's a good point. All right. Now I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Boy, that wind is blowing that door. How many of you are happy this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right. Now I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Somebody tell us, a couple of you, why are you happy? Why are you happy? Sir? Yes. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, amen. And those are things to praise the Lord for. Amen. Anybody else you just want to tell before we pray? Why are you happy? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Amen. Amen. That is exciting. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for your mercy, for your grace, your blessings. Lord, please help raise up people that will serve as altar workers in the congregation of Florence Baptist Church. And Lord, we're not looking for highly educated people. We're not looking for public orators or spokesmen. We're just looking for people that believe that you could use them. And Lord, that you could bless people through them. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. With our heads bowed just for a moment. How many? Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's, just don't look around just for a moment. But with our heads bowed, how many would say by the lifting of the hand, Brother Eccles, as God enables me, I'd like to take and help people as I'm able. And as the Lord enables me, as an altar worker, when somebody comes forward, to do what I can to help them right here in my church. And would you pray that God would just enable me and use me? Would you hold it up very quickly and put it down? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. That's pretty close to about 8 or 10 people. Now, with that in mind, we're going to take, and this will be a 10-minute or less meeting. with Nancy, because she is the elder worker's secretary by virtue of her raised hand and her bold spirit. Amen. But we'll have a meeting just very quickly to kind of just a kind of what if. I'll be there, Nancy, to assist if I can. And we'll announce that when that's going to work, as sooner than later we'll do that. Thank you for volunteering. Bless these people, Father, that have raised their hands. Equip them and bless them. And now bless our pastor as he preaches in the morning service. We ask that souls would be saved and you'd bring a number of visitors and people. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.